there's a part of your community that you know, but maybe don't spend a lot of time in. It's the final resting place for loved ones, marked by the familiar stone headstones, a name, a couple of dates, some words of love and importance, providing a place to sit and stop and remember the life that was lived and lost. But even in our regional areas, cemeteries are changing. So what does that mean for these spaces that take up a fair bit of room and real estate in your community? Jordan Silver, writer, urban designer, your regular guest, has been taking a look at this. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya. How are you going?
Good, thanks. Cemeteries are pretty common. Most community has one, if not more.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. There's quite a few scattered around the place, especially in our urban environments. Yeah.
Is the model of a cemetery fairly stock standard across the region?
I'd say it is, and I would say it's a model that's, it hasn't really evolved very much, especially not here in Australia, and it's one that we sort of borrowed from the UK when we colonised, and it's a bit tired, it's a bit old, and the way that it was sort of, the way that it came about was that cemeteries were basically the first public parks. They were places that were cleared within dense urban environments to provide a bit of relief in the dense city,
yeah,
and obviously provide space for the final resting place for loved ones. But they pose a problem because they're basically running out of space, and Australia is due to run out of a significant amount of its burial space in the next 20 or 30 years.
How is that then starting the conversation around what they should look like, what cemeteries should look like into the future?
Well, I guess it's important to note that the way that cemeteries operate usually, or the typical model of kind of gravestones densely packed into a kind of landscaped environment, that's not the only way to create a burial ground. It's just the sort of typical way, and it's not without its problems because it uses up a lot of space, obviously, and because of that, it becomes expensive because in order to get your spot, you have to be willing to pay for it, I guess, because there's a limited number of spaces. There's also, people don't really know this, but there's a big environmental cost from cemeteries. Burying coffins deep in the ground creates... the land takes in a lot of chemicals from that process, which enters the water table and causes significant environmental problems.
Mm. Talk us through some of the ideas that you're seeing. What is a burial belt?
okay. So, so I wanted to share sort of three little short stories, little projects that illustrate how burial grounds are being approached with contemporary architectural ideas. So, you've referred to the first one, which is this idea of the burial belt. It's a project by other architects. One of the lead architects there, his name's David Newstein. He's written a lot about the nature of burial and funeral practices in Australia. And burial belt is this speculative project that they created, which is exhibited in Oslo at the Triennale in 2019. And it is a proposal whereby large amounts of agricultural land on the outskirts of Sydney would be reforested as part of a what's called like a natural burial process. So
right.
what that is in place of digging graves in a typical fashion, areas of landscape are sort of reforested, and the cost of your funeral or the cost of your loved one's funeral is put into that process of sort of revegetating land.
So then that cost is kind of eradicated because one cost becomes something else to make the nature good.
Yeah, well, kind of. So it's like it's this sort of lovely idea, which you can sort of understand, which is instead of a typical funeral where a lot of money would be spent on caskets and funeral services and graves and headstones and all that sort of thing, which has a sort of carbon footprint, I guess. Instead of that, in the process of burial, that it's an opportunity for people and their families to make a contribution towards, I guess you could say, sort of a bit of healing of nature rather than an additional impact on it. So it's this, you know, it's quite a poetic idea. It's quite lovely. And as a sort of collective, all this money goes into this larger effort of, you know, greening and reinstating native forests and creating eventually this thing called the burial belt, which is this large connected set of passes of land which can gradually form a really vital part of a reinstated ecosystem for cities and areas, which is quite a lovely idea. And I think in the proposal itself, there's even, you know, there's clearings sort of made within the forests for people to visit and have these spaces of contemplation. It kind of turns the idea of burial on its head in a way.
Yeah, and then interestingly, one of the other ones that you want to talk about has the word mausoleum in there, which I think of being quite, you know, very traditional cemetery burial. What's happening with this one?
Totally. So the second short story is this Atrium of Holy Angels. It's a mausoleum and it's by Harmer Architecture and it's in Victoria. And in contrast to the burial belt, which is very much a sort of environmentally focused natural burial emphasis idea and project, whereby the sort of the usual elements of burial being headstones and these things of permanence to kind of memorialize people in something as hard as stone. One could say that the sort of idea of a natural burial, where those things are sort of done away with in place of, in favor of kind of reinstating vegetation and that sort of thing, something's kind of lost there a little bit, because when we memorialize our lost loved ones, there is a reason that we like to find these kind of elements of permanence and reverence, and it's because we want there to be some sort of
we like tangible imprint. Things. We like to be able to go and sit somewhere and be with them and touch something and put something, like have those moments.
Exactly, and for there to be something that makes significance of a life lived, because it's important to people. You know, it's something that people take very seriously, of course. So more traditional modes of burial in kind of religious communities that still do things in a traditional way, like mausoleums, they really emphasize that sort of feeling of reverence. And I think that it's all well and good to sort of emphasize an environmental sort of attitude, but it would be a shame to lose that sort of sanctity or that reverence. So I like this second short story, which is The Atrium of Holy Angels, because it's not a natural burial ground. It's a mausoleum, which is a traditional mode of burial. It's a kind of solid stone structure that's where beauty and aesthetics is really important to the process of remembrance. But instead of a sort of classic mausoleum where individual crypts or mausoleums are sort of built alongside one another in a cemetery grounds, which obviously creates those same problems, Harmer Architecture proposed this sort of beautiful, perfect ring of mausoleums, which are stacked high. They're stacked like six stories high. So they facilitate a mausoleum, a place of remembrance for the members of that community, but in a lot smaller of a footprint. But collectively, they create something far more elegant and beautiful than any single mausoleum could. And the ring sort of holds a beautiful public space in the center, which is the function space for ceremonies of burial, which can be used by the public as a beautiful public space.
Such an interesting balance between history, humanity and design. Jordan, thank you for talking us through this morning.
Oh, no worries.
That was our urban designer and writer, your regular guest, Jordan Silver, there talking through some of those changes you might start seeing in your community, at your local cemetery, or even just in the conversations you're having as you're maybe planning end-of-life things for yourself or your loved ones.